trouble, see I'm home.
Hi everyone, and welcome back to Having a Ball Podcast. I'm your host, Lucy, and today I'll be the only one recording because Erica's busy. Guys, when I tell you that our lives have been completely hectic, I mean it. My son and I are trying to do everything we can this summer, and Erica's got work and a cake business and family and life. And honestly, we love doing these episodes for you, and we want to keep putting them out, which is why I am doing it myself today. And then she might do one herself at another point, but we just love that you guys keep listening. So today, instead of doing a I Love Lucy episode review, I'm going to be talking about the My Favorite Husband episode, The Misunderstanding of the Black Eye. This episode is what inspired The Black Eye, I Love Lucy, Season 2, Episode 20, which is what Erica and I will record next week. So I thought it would just kind of be fun to go over that episode a little bit, the radio episode a little bit, and then have you guys listen to it because it's a fun episode. And then next week we'll do a play-by-play of the I Love Lucy episode and see kind of how they're similar and how they're different. So I honestly can't remember how similar and different they are because I just listened to the Misunderstanding of the Black Eye, and I haven't watched The Black Eye from I Love Lucy in a while. So they could be, like, some of them are almost word for word the same, and some of them will have like 5 minutes of the episode that's similar and the rest is completely different. So it'll be fun to kind of see how these two are similar or different. In this episode, The Misunderstanding of a Black Eye, we get to meet, you know, all the main characters, and I'll go over them again just as a refresher, but we get to see them all playing out a very similar story to The Black Eye and I Love Lucy. This My Favorite Husband episode was the 118th episode. It was broadcasted February 10th, 1958. It was the 20th episode of the third season of My Favorite Husband. And there were 31 new episodes with this season. It ended March 31st, 1951. So the synopsis of this episode here was that the Atterburys ask how Liz got her black eye. The Atterburys are kind of like Fred and Ethel in this world. So Liz is George's wife, and George's boss is Mr. Atterbury, and Mrs. Atterbury is Liz's friend. So the Atterburys ask Liz how she got her black eye, and Liz jokingly says, you know, oh, George slugged me. And then they don't believe any other reason that she may have this black eye. Again, sounding very similar to the I Love Lucy episode, but we'll see. Now, some of the main cast from My Favorite Husband, we've discussed this before, but I will talk about it again just a little bit. Obviously, Lucille Ball, she's Liz Cooper. Her husband, George Cooper, was played by Richard Denning. Apparently, he was supposed to take over his father's garment manufacturing business, but he ended up developing an interest for acting. He enlisted in the U.S. Navy during World War II, and he's best known for his science fiction horror films from the 1950s. He did have this show on the radio with Lucille Ball, but he never acted with her in television. He did appear on television at the same time as I Love Lucy when he was in a TV show called Mr. and Mrs. North from 1968 to 1980. And then he played the governor on Hawaii Five-0 and passed away in 1998 at the age of 84. Rudolph Atterbury is the well-known Gail Gordon. We've talked about him a lot, so I don't feel like I need to talk to him about him a lot, but he was in, you know, I Love Lucy, Here's Lucy, The Lucy Show, and a lot of other, like, Lucy Meets the President, I believe it's called. and the Lucy Desi Comedy Hour. So, I mean, he was just in that, all of those. And, of course, he was in other things like The Wonder Show that was on radio in 1938. And then Iris Atterbury was played by Bay Benaderet. She was actually the front runner to be cast as Ethel Mertz, but when they started casting for I Love Lucy, Bay was already playing in another show called The George Burns and Gracie Allen Show. So that's when Vivian Vance was cast. Katie, the maid, was played by Ruth Perrott. She was also later seen in I Love Lucy. She played Mrs. Pomerantz, and she was the member of the Surprise Investigating Committee of the Society Matrons League in Pioneer Women. She also is in Lucy Goes to the Hospital as a nurse. She passed away in 1996 at the age of 96. And then the announcer is Bob Lamond. I love him. I love his voice. He's also the announcer in the pilot episode of I Love Lucy. We also have two guest stars in this episode. We have Robert D. Jelson, who was Mr. Bennett, the florist. He was the bellboy throughout the Hollywood episode of I Love Lucy. And he was also the milkman in The Gossip. We also have Lester J., who was the delivery boy. He was a child actor who appeared extensively on Let's Pretend for CBS's radio. And he was one of three actors to play Chester on The Gumps. Robinson Brown Jr. on Robinson Crusoe Jr. and Terry on Terry and Ted. As you'll hear in this episode, there's a moment when the Atterburys are approaching the Cooper's home, and Iris is a bit worried about going in there unannounced, right? She is worried about the etiquette, and she actually ends up saying Emily Post wouldn't do it. Emily Post lived from 1872 to 1960. She was a writer whose name became synonymous with proper etiquette and manners. More than half a century after her death, her name was still used in titles of etiquette books. Kim even brings up her name in Lucy's house guest, Harry. Here's Lucy, season 3, episode 20, in 1971. Another name that's brought up in this episode is Rudolph Valentino. So Liz ends up asking Iris, you know, you think these flowers are from Rudolph Atterbury? And Iris goes, they aren't from Rudolph Valentino. He was nicknamed the Latin Lover, and he starred in such films such as The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse, The Sheik, Blood in the Sand, The Eagle, and The Son of the Sheik. He was basically the sex symbol of the 1920s. He was known in Hollywood, as I said, as a Latin Lover, the Great Lover, or simply Valentino, and he ended up passing away at the age of 31. This caused, apparently, mass hysteria among his fans, and that helped to further cement his place in early cinematic history as a cultural film icon. He also happened to be the favorite of Lucy's mother, Miss McGillicuddy, and in Hollywood, she couldn't wait to see the house where Valentino once lived. That is all I'm going to say about this episode, other than I really like this one. I remember hearing it as I was driving and going, oh, this is really funny. There's just a lot of humor, and I find that, you know, Iris just enjoying how much Liz's drama is, you know, she enjoys thinking that there is another man until she thinks it's her husband, you know, and I really enjoyed that. But I'm going to go ahead and tack this episode onto the end of what I'm saying here. I hope you guys enjoy listening to it. If you guys really dislike hearing these episodes, please let us know and we can consider not posting them anymore. But I find that that's a really fun kind of insight into the real foundation and the beginnings of I Love Lucy. I hope you enjoy. Thank you.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball. Yes, it's the Gay Family series starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning as Liz and George Cooper, two people who live together and like it. ¶¶ we look in on the Coopers tonight, dinner is over and Liz is curled up in the living room, lost in a good book. George enters.
Liz, have you seen that book I was reading?
No. Why don't you look in the attic?
Attic? What's the book you're reading?
Now, George, you can read it later.
That's my book. Now, give it to me.
No. Oh, sit next to me on the couch, George, and we'll read it together.
Well, all right.
Here, now, I'll hold it. All right, George, are you ready to turn the page yet?
No, I didn't read a word. You were mumbling so loud I couldn't concentrate.
Oh, well, there was nothing on that page anyway. Mad tried to poison Gordon, but he found out and ran her over with his car.
Nothing on it, huh?
No. Next page.
Liz, would you please stop mumbling?
I'm just reading.
Well, can't you read with your mouth closed?
Okay.
Oh, never mind. Here, you take the book. I'll read something else.
No, wait a minute. I have a good idea. I'll read it out loud to both of us.
I'm a fool, but go ahead.
All right, here we go. As Gordon drove down the highway, an idle thought crossed his mind. Why did I run over Madge, he wondered. Suddenly, he heard a sound in the back seat.
It was Madge.
Yes, it was Madge. She was beaten and torn. Her clothes were in shreds, and blood poured from her many wounds. Their eyes met. Then, in a feeble voice, Madge said, "You don't like me, do you?"
What?
Suddenly, she gained strength. "Go ahead, admit it," she shouted. "You hate me."
Liz.
"You hate me, don't you?"
Liz.
"Don't you?"
Liz. You have to shout.
I can't help it. I can't help it, George. I get carried away.
Well, go on, but control yourself.
He started slowly toward her, climbing over the seat. Madge's eyes showed terror. Slowly, he came closer, closer, closer.
I still think we should have called before we came over, Rudolph. It isn't polite to drop in on people unexpectedly.
Lotus Bud, these aren't people. These are Liz and George. They're our friends.
Well, Emily Post wouldn't do it.
Of course not. She doesn't even know them.
You know what I mean. Well, we're here. You might as well ring the bell.
All right.
No! You wouldn't
rush
me!
It's Liz, girl.
Yes, and apparently she's done something to annoy George Boy.
Go ahead, you cad. Hit me, I dare you. Ow! Right in the eye.
She went one I dare you too far.
George hit her.
Yes. I wonder how he managed to hold off this long. Well, I guess it's safe to ring the bell now.
Don't you dare.
For their sake. When they hear the bell, they'll go to neutral corners.
You can't break in on them at a time like this.
Please?
No. We'll go down and phone from the drugstore and tell them we'd like to come over.
Oh, I thought you didn't want to go in at all.
Oh, don't be silly. I want to see how this comes out as much as you do.
Well, let's hurry down to the drugstore. Personally, I think George has the first round on point.
Later that night, Madge was crying softly in her room, waiting for the phone. They said they'd call if they found Gordon's body when they dragged the river. She waited and waited. Wouldn't that phone ever ring?
That was our phone ringing.
Ooh. I'll get it. Hello?
Liz?
Yes?
How are you, girl?
I'm fine.
Liz, this is Iris.
your friends, whom you may turn to in a moment of crisis.
Iris, have you been nipping at the sherry again? What are you talking about?
All right, be close-mouthed. Rudolph and I are down at the drugstore, and we thought maybe we'd drop by your arena. A house!
Well, that would be fine, Iris.
Unless you don't want to see us right now for some reason.
Why wouldn't we want to see you?
I don't know. I thought maybe something might have just struck you.
Oh, don't be silly. Come on over. We're just spending a quiet evening at home.
Well, all right. Anything we can bring over, girl? Ice cream? Candy? Bandages?
We don't need anything. Come on over.
All right. See you in a few minutes. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
What did Iris want?
Help me clean up the living room, George. They're coming over.
What's the matter with the living room?
What's the matter with it? Well, look around you. Newspapers open, cigarette ashes in the trays. Oh, I'm glad they called first.
Oh, gracious. So am I.
All right, George.
How mortified I'd have been if they walked in and caught us wallowing in our pig pen.
Never mind, Porky. Let's clean up.
Liz, this is the way a living room is supposed to look, lived in. Besides, the Atterburys are our friends.
Put your shoes on.
Why? They know I have feet.
George, put your shoes on and help me clean up. Now, pick up those papers. I'll get this ashtray. And let's put that book away, too. Throw it to me.
Okay. Here, catch.
Go ahead. Oh! Oh, my eye!
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. Did it hit you on the eye?
Yes.
Oh, I should have handed it to you.
Oh, no, it's my fault. I should have caught it. Oh, gosh, it sure hurt.
Oh, you better put something on it, Liz.
I'll get Katie to fix me a cold compress.
Let me see it. Gee, you really must have gotten a whack. Mm. It's starting to color up already.
Oh, that's all I need, a black eye. Oh, that's probably the Atterbury. You let them in, George. I'll go fix my eye.
All right. Hi, folks.
George boy. Liz. Liz girl?
What have you done with Liz?
Oh, she'll be right here. Come on in. Hey, give me your coat. I'm glad you dropped in. We were just having a quiet evening at home.
He's a cruel customer, isn't he?
Fast, too. He doesn't have a scratch on him.
Hi, Iris. Hi, Mr. Atterbury.
Liz.
Oh, huh. Oh, you poor dear.
What? Oh, my eye.
Yes.
Well, how did it happen?
Oh, George slugged me.
Yep. Yep, I finally let her have it.
What's the matter?
You come over and stay with us, Liz.
Oh, now, just a second, Iris.
Don't speak to her, you cat.
What?
You actually did slug her.
Oh, listen, I was just kidding.
Don't protect him, Liz. He isn't worth it.
Really? Nobody ever believes the real story of a black eye, so I made one up.
As we look in on the Coopers again, it's the next morning. Iris Atterbury has been waiting out in front of Liz's house. As soon as George leaves for the bank, she rushes in to console Liz.
Liz, girl, how's your eye?
Oh, it still hurts. How does it look?
Ooh!
It's a real shiner, isn't it?
Ooh, that rat really gave you a mouse.
Rat? Listen, Iris.
Look, now that the big brood is out of here, what really happened last night?
I told you. George tossed a book to me. I missed it, and it hit me in the eye.
Ooh, you're stubborn. Look, I know that's the story for publication, but what's the gory truth?
Iris, what do you think happened?
George got mad and popped you in the eye.
George popped me in the eye?
Well, at last you admit it.
What?
What are the details? I want a blow-by-blow description.
You won't be happy till you get a good, juicy one, will you?
No.
All right, Iris. It seems George and I were sitting around after dinner. We had a little argument.
Yes.
Close your mouth, Iris. You're drooling on the rug.
George?
Where was I?
George pulled you across the table by the hair and slugged you.
Did I say that?
Yes. Well, go ahead. What did he do to top that?
You haven't left him much choice. He slugged me, as you say, and I fell down, and as I lay there, whimpering and cowering...
He kicked you.
All right, he kicked me.
Where?
Right between the living room and the den. Well, wasn't too bad. His shoes were off at the time. Oh. But he has sharp toenails. He's a slasher. Oh, our sheets don't last 2 weeks.
Go on, Liz. Go
on. Go on.
Well, yes, you haven't told me the real dirt yet.
I haven't?
No. What made him so mad?
I don't know.
You know?
No. We were talking about the weather, and I told him I was in love with somebody else, and he said,
Wait a minute. Back up, girl. You told him you were in love with another?
Yes.
Another man?
No, a Shetland pony.
Come on, girl. You know what I meant. Who is this pony boy?
Well... Oh, he's wonderful. We've been meeting secretly for years.
Oh, juicy! Is it anyone I know?
Yes.
Who?
Oh, I can't tell you his name.
It wouldn't be Cricket, would it?
No, it's somebody else. He'll just have to remain my mystery lover.
Someone I know.
Huh?
Oh, I hate you. I'm going to be up all night wondering.
Iris, do me a favor, will you?
What?
Don't blab this all over town.
Oh, you know me, girl.
Yes, that's why I say don't blab this all over town.
Did you want to see me, Mr. Atterbury?
Yes, I did. Come in and close the door, George.
Yes, sir.
George Boyne, I want to tell you something.
Yes, sir?
I'm older than you are.
Oh, I know that, sir.
That's not what I want to tell you. I want to have a father-son, a man-to-man talk with you. In our civilization today, the art of fisticuffs belongs in the ring, not in the home.
Oh, now, Mr. Atterbury, please.
Huh? Now, I grant you that Liz is a very exasperating woman, and at times I've entertained the thought of striking her myself.
But, Mr. Atterbury...
Uh-huh. It's perfectly understandable that a man must discipline his wife once in a while, but a punch in the eye, as satisfying as it may be to the soul...
Mr. Atterbury, for heaven's sake...
Hush, hush. George, in the interest of your marriage, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anyone before.
What?
I struck Iris once.
You did?
Yes. And afterwards, I felt terrible.
You were ashamed?
No. She beat me to a pulp.
Look, Mr. Atterbury, could I please say something without your hushing me?
Proceed.
We were cleaning up the living room. I threw a book to Liz. She didn't catch it, and it hit her in the eye.
Are you through?
Yes. Do you believe me?
No. Now, why don't you send her some flowers, boy? At least apologize.
I won't send anything. There's no reason to send flowers or apologize. I'll be in my office.
Ah, you... Well, I'll just have to help him along. Oh, Miss Roberts, I'll be back in a moment. I'm going down to the florist. Good afternoon, Miss Benson.
Hello, Mr. Atterbury.
How's the flower business these days?
Oh, I've been busy as a bee all morning.
Yeah. Well, I'd like 2 dozen roses, and I want them delivered this afternoon.
Oh, our truck's just leaving.
Oh, well, hold it up while I write a card.
Hold the truck.
Okay.
I'll get the flowers while you write the card.
Yeah, here's the card.
All righty. I'll just put it in this box with the roses, close it up, and off it goes. Here, Bill.
Got it.
They'll be delivered right away.
Good, good. I want those flowers to get there before her husband gets home.
Mr. Atterbury.
Oh, you don't understand. You know Liz Cooper?
George Cooper's wife?
Yes.
I understand.
You do not. They had a little spat, and he won't apologize, so I'm sending flowers to Liz in his name. Wait till she sees the card.
What did it say?
Well, if I do say so myself, it was sheer genius. It said, "Dearest sweetheart."
Oh, that is good.
There's more. Nothing that has happened can dim my love for you.
Oh.
Signed, adoringly, Rudolph.
Me.
Rudolph! Stop that truck! Get that card back!
It's too late.
Oh, I'll have to rush over to the Coopers and try to intercept them.
Well, I'm sorry.
Well, you should be. It's all your fault, you bumbling... Bee, you!
Thank goodness the coast is clear. I don't see any flower boxes. Maybe he hasn't been here yet. Now, if I can just sneak in...
There's a man in the house.
It's not a man, Katie. It's me.
Mr. Atterbury, what are you doing sneaking in the front door?
I haven't time to explain now. Has Liz received any flowers today?
No, not that I know of.
What's the matter, Katie?
Nothing, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, are you ready to go, Iris?
Iris? Is she here?
Yes, sir. She's upstairs with Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, gad. She must see me here.
Well, they're going out shopping in a minute.
Oh, good. I'll hide till they go. Then I'll get the card from those flowers.
Well, I don't know what it's all about, but you can hide in the hall closet.
Bless you, Katie.
Iris, you think this veil hides my eye enough?
Pull your hat down a little more.
How's that?
That's fine. Aren't you ever going to tell me who your mystery lover is?
No.
Why not?
Because you're a big blabbermouth.
Mrs. Cooper, you haven't told me what you wanted for dinner.
A pork chop to eat and a steak for my eye.
All right.
I'll get it, Katie. Yes?
Flowers for Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, thank you. Flowers for me. I wonder who they're from.
Well, they're probably from M.L.
M.L.?
Mystery lover.
Oh, Iris, they're from George.
And from George.
All right, here, you read the card, and if I'm right, you'll find out who my mystery lover is.
Okay.
What does it say?
Dear sweetheart, nothing that has happened can dim my love for you. Adoringly, Rudolph.
Rudolph?
Rudolph!
Rudolph? Rudolph who?
Rudolph who?
You think these flowers are from Rudolph Atterbury?
They aren't from Rudolph Valentino. My husband. My pitiful, fat old husband. Your mystery lover. Doesn't it? It just doesn't seem possible.
It isn't.
fall for a broken-down old goat like Mr. Addison.
How dare you talk like that about Rudolph?
Why, you said the same thing yourself.
I know, but I can wrap him. He's my old goat. I'm going home. Where's my coat?
It's in the hall closet.
Wait till I see that Rudolph. Oh, there's something in there.
Oh, there is not.
Rudolph Atterbury, is that you?
Don't be ridiculous, Iris.
There's nobody here but us galoshes.
If it isn't old Mystery Goat.
Mr. Atterbury, what are you doing in there?
What are you doing in there?
Oh, shut up.
Now, Lotus Bud, if you'll just give me a chance to explain.
But all right, Rudolph. You get your chance. Step out of the closet.
Thanks.
Now, you can explain, but there's something I want to do first.
What's that?
Look.
Oh, my eyes.
Hi, everybody.
Oh, George, you're just in time. This is awful.
Oh, what happened?
I'll tell you what happened. Iris came up and punched me in the eye like...
Ow!
Oh! What was that for?
That's for starting this whole thing by hitting Liz in the first place.
Katie, make that three shakes. Now, look, let's get one thing settled right now. George did not hit me. I'll show you exactly what happened, Iris. He took a book like this and he threw it like this. So...
Favorite Husband has been presented through the worldwide facilities of the United States Armed Forces Radio and Television Service.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Having a Ball Podcast.
You can find us everywhere. We are on Having a Ball Pod on Instagram, Having a Ball Pod on Twitter. We do have a TikTok. We don't use it as much, but we should. We are on Having a Ball Podcast on Facebook and Having a Ball Podcast on YouTube. And of course, if you want to send us any emails, comments, recommendations, Having a Ball Podcast at gmail.com. Thank you guys. Bye. Bye-bye.